Well, good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth. And today, I'm going to be finishing up our series we've been going through the last 3 weeks called Leave a Mark. And this whole month, really, we've been talking about the legacy that you are leaving on those all around you. And I know in the busyness of our day-to-day lives, most of us don't have much time to think about our legacy. Right now, we were too worried about making sure we had all the food for Thanksgiving, that family was coming, that the storm wasn't going to get us. Now we're thinking about Christmas shopping and going to this event and that event and all these extra Christmas things on the calendar. And our lives are always just chocked full with things to do, the busyness of today. And as a result, it's very rare that we step back and we take that 30,000 foot view and we look at our lives and we say, okay, what kind of a mark am I actually leaving on this world? And there's a day, if you don't normally think about those things, there is a time for everybody that you will think about these things and you will ponder, what difference am I making? For me, that kind of came over this summer. Over the previous 5 years here in Ashworth, we'd only had 2 funerals in this room in 5 years. We had exceptional luck, I would call that. That is unusual. And then in the span of 2 months, we did 3 funerals right here in this room, and I presided over 2 of those. And there's this moment, you know, as a young man like myself in the busyness of family and stuff, I don't take the time to think about that. I am exactly what I'm describing. You don't think about legacy when you're still in your 30s. That's right, I'm still in my 30s. However, in those moments where people are reading the eulogy, or they're giving the eulogy and they're reading the obituary, and these great men were being remembered by their friends and their family, you're hearing about the legacy that these gentlemen left. And in the quiet time of the songs, you're sitting there and I was thinking, what legacy am I leaving? If I were to pass, how many people would show up? Who am I leaving a mark on? And these are the really big questions in life that we all should be wrestling with. We all should think, when that moment comes, will everything that we've lived for made any difference? And it is sobering to take that time, if you never have, to reflect on all that you've achieved, all that you've done, all those that you've made an impact on, and to just kind of take account of the life that you've lived. And hopefully in that moment, there will be faces of important people who come to mind. First, it'll probably be your family, your children and your grandchildren, that you'll see how they are a reflection of you and hopefully the things, the values that you taught them. Maybe there will be people that you have led to a saving faith in Jesus, or those that you've walked alongside as you've helped them grow and develop in their faith. Maybe as you'll see faces of people in your church, meaningful people that made an impact on you, and maybe those that you've made an impact on them. Children that you taught in Sunday school, maybe people that went through very difficult times and you were right there at their side to get them through that divorce or that death in the family or that job loss. Maybe it'll simply be families that you watch them completely transform by the ministry of the church. This is our hope anyway. Wouldn't you be pleased if that was your legacy? That your children reflected your values, that you would think of people that you led to saving faith in Jesus, that you'd think of people that you helped them grow and mature in their faith, that you'd have in mind people that you invested in through the church through dozens of years. That, to me, at least sounds like a really good legacy. If that's how I go out, I will say, thank you, Jesus. That's what I would love to be remembered for. And that's the reason that we've done this series. It was to get us all thinking about the mark that we're leaving on those all around us while we still have breath to do something about it. You see, with a little intentionality, we can still write the story of our lives with such a fulfilling legacy. But first, we have to decide what's important to us and how we're going to live differently to leave the mark on the world that we want to leave. So in our first week, Pastor Brent talked about leaving a spiritual mark on somebody's life. And if you want to have that be a part of your legacy, that you are a part of somebody's spiritual birth and coming to know Jesus, then you need to be having spiritual conversations with people. It's not just going to happen. If that's the legacy you want to leave, then you have to make choices now. Who are the people that I'm going to consistently and regularly pray for? That I'm going to regularly be looking for opportunities to bring a spiritual conversation up? That I'm going to regularly tell them about what Jesus is doing in my life. Not because they're a project, but because I care about them so much. I want them to experience the same joy and the same hope that I have. But you're not going to leave a spiritual mark in somebody's life unless you intentionally choose to live that out day by day. The next week, Pastor Amy talked about leaving a mark on your children. The good kind, the kind that you're proud of. And regardless of how old your children are, it's never too late to show them kindness. Even when relationships are strained, it's our job as peacemakers and followers of Jesus to be the first ones to offer the olive branch, to show unconditional love, to speak regularly about how important Jesus is. Because as we said, our children see how we live, and like it or not, they follow a bit the model that we set for them. So we should establish a good model. My grandmother is 95 years old, and while her mind left her a while ago, I have no doubt about her love for Jesus and for her family. And her legacy then has been passed down through maybe going on 5 generations now in this family that's well over 100. I've got like 38 cousins on that side. Big family. Grandma had a lot of family, and she's proud of the legacy that she left. And everybody knew the two most important things to her were Jesus and family. And then last week, Pastor Brent talked about leaving a mark on the church. Because the church needs you to be able to accomplish what Jesus created the church to do. And that is to change and heal this broken world. But we as a body, as a church, aren't as effective as we might be if you don't get involved. If you don't use your skills and your talents and your giftings that God has given you to help us be all that we can be, to make a difference on the community all around us. So are you willing to invest in this church so that you can leave a mark you're proud of on this church and watch the church leave a mark on the community all around? And today we're going to look at how we can make the intentional decision to leave a mark on the world all around us by choosing to be generous with our abundance. And I know this is, in the last 72 hours, I'm sure most of you by now have recognized the contradiction between Thanksgiving, when we are thankful to God for all that we have, and Black Friday, when we all realize all that we don't have and we need, and we go shopping. Or we take the abundance that God has given us and we celebrate on Thursday, and we give it to retailers on Friday for our children and our grandchildren and our family and our friends. And we give all this abundance to people who already have an abundance. Meanwhile, there may be other people in the world with much greater needs that we forget about. And even the person in the tightest financial situation in this room, we all have to recognize, even if you're like, I am totally broke, you still have an abundance compared to the average person in this world. You still have an opportunity to be a generous giver and a blessing to somebody with less. All of us truly do live in abundance. And today I want to challenge you to recognize the abundance that God has blessed you with and to look for ways to leave a mark on the world with it. And it's the perfect time, really, to talk about this, since our tradition of gift giving is built on sharing our abundance with others. And so while we're all in the mood to be generous, we're going to talk about generosity. So we're going to start by, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians if you want to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But when we read through the Bible, we get to the book of Acts and we start reading about life after Jesus' death and resurrection and the birth of the church. And we read about how the church then spread outside of just Jerusalem and Judea, kind of where Jesus' ministry was, and it goes all over the Mediterranean region, and it reaches over to Rome, and which is modern-day Greece, and the good news of Jesus moves from just the Jews to also the Gentiles, people who were hated by the Jews, but it's spreading to the entire world. And described in both the book of Acts and several of the letters written by the Apostle Paul, we know that around 55 AD, which is about 25 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, that the church back in Judea was facing a severe famine as well as crushing persecution from their Roman oppressors. Life was dire for the people back in Jerusalem. And so Paul decides that as he's traveling his missionary journey, strengthening churches and planting new ones, that he's going to collect an offering from all these Gentile churches, and he's going to bring it back to the church in Jerusalem to help meet the needs of the people there. And so today I want to read to you from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, which is in southern Greece, and he wrote about the generosity of the Macedonians, which is the region of the people in modern-day, the north part of modern-day Greece, and that would have included the towns of Philippi and Thessalonica, which are two books of the Bible when Paul wrote letters to those churches. So this is what he wrote to the church in Corinth about the Macedonians. "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to all the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us." And let's stop there and take a moment to look at the long-lasting and far-reaching legacy left by these Macedonian churches. Well beyond the actual monetary gift that they gave to the church in Jerusalem, they leave an incredible model of generosity for all of us to still follow today. In these few short verses where Paul describes their willingness to give, we learn three lessons about generosity. And the first is that generosity is a grace of God. The whole act of generosity, or of generous giving, is first and foremost described as the grace that God has given the Macedonians. In fact, we see this word, the grace of God, about giving three different times in the first 15 verses of this chapter. As Paul is recognizing, being willing to be generous is going beyond our natural selves. There's something supernatural behind it. So if you know that naturally you're a rather stingy, tightwad, pinch your coins really, really tight in your fingers, don't want to give too much kind of person, that's okay. Naturally, we're that way. Jesus just doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to be more like he is, and he is a generous God, abounding in loving kindness, lavishing his blessings on all of us, and he wants us to live that way. And so he is extending, therefore, his grace to each of us to get out of that trap of being stingy and to being willing to be generous. That's what it means when I say that generosity is a grace of God. It means it's actually a spiritual gift that goes beyond our natural way of being. And it comes from the Holy Spirit, from God, to help us to be generous. So if this is something you struggle with and you're already thinking, this is not the sermon for me to be here, I encourage you, start praying and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. It cuts against the grain of how I'm wired. Give me the gift and the grace of generosity. I want to be more generous. Will you please extend that grace to me? Secondly, what we see in this passage is that generosity is a state of mind, not of circumstances. What we see from the Macedonians is that you aren't generous once you have an abundance. Instead, you choose to be generous. Verse 2 tells us that there are three ingredients that resulted in rich generosity. These were those three ingredients: a very severe trial, overflowing joy, and extreme poverty. And I don't know about you, but two of those don't sound like very good reasons to be generous. A severe trial and extreme poverty to me sound like a reason to say, you know what, maybe later, Paul, but right now I don't have anything to give. But instead what we see is that their overflowing joy for the salvation that they recognize they have received resulted in them not wanting to be left out. They wanted to help. They let their hearts and their minds determine their generosity, not their dire circumstances. And so we need to stop looking at the money left over in our bank account at the end of the month to decide if we have enough to be generous. And instead, we have to choose to be generous and say, because I'm going to be generous, I'm going to live differently, I'm going to spend less, I'm not going to buy as lavishly of gifts, so that at the end of the month, I know I have the ability to live a generous life when I see those in need. And the third point that the Macedonians show us and model for us is that generosity is a privilege. The final lesson they teach from their actions is we read Paul say, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing. They saw it as a privilege to be able to join into this offering to help meet the needs of somebody else that they had never met in their entire lives. They didn't see generosity as a should or a burden or something that the boss laid down for them to do or the church set as a requirement. They saw it as an opportunity and a privilege. They wanted to be of help to somebody else. They wanted to make a difference beyond themselves. And that's a paradigm shift that many of us need to make, is generosity isn't a, well, I'm a Christian, so I guess I should be more generous. It's an opportunity to say, because God has blessed me with so much, I have so many opportunities. Every dollar that drops in my bank account is an opportunity to help somebody else. And so we need to look at that differently. And it's because of the grace that God gave them, because of their choosing to be generous and recognizing it as a privilege, that Paul describes how they gave even beyond their ability, he said, which is amazing, and it exceeded our expectations. What an incredible legacy that they left behind. Even in the little that they had, they gave. And I know for some of you in this room, as you read this, you can say, you know, I've tried to follow that. That's why as a church, when we do Missions Month or we do the Above and Beyond offering to raise money for outreach, we always meet our goal as a church. Because many people in this church are incredibly generous, and many people recognize that giving is an incredible opportunity. But I know for some other people, it's hard because you look at your bills and you look at your bank account ledger and you may say, I want to be generous, but I just don't know how. And how you be generous is first you pray and you say, God, I need your help. And secondly, you just have to choose it and make the dollars work, because you can't wait for the dollars to happen and then say, oh, they're just there. That's not how it works. The Macedonians didn't necessarily have the cash on hand, but they had a heart that they wanted to give. And that was the result then, is what they did, is they exceeded Paul's expectations. You see, we live in a culture that is so self-focused and so used to abundance that we often forget the incredible privilege that we have to serve those in need. Instead, we feel burdened by all the requirements that this time of the year puts on us. I know that many of you are feeling this. First service was all nodding along. We have rules when it comes to giving. Like, we have to spend the same amount of money on each of our children and each of our grandchildren, or else it isn't fair. And so when you accidentally spend too much on one kid, then you have to buy a little bit more for all the other kids to get the dollar amounts to be the same. And you don't want to be embarrassed and have somebody come to a dinner and bring you a gift, and you didn't think to get them a gift, and then things aren't equal, and you feel terrible about that. So you rack your brain. Who are all the people that gave me a gift last year that I have to give them a gift to make sure that we're equal? We have all these rules and all this stress to make sure that we do our gift buying right, as opposed to with generous hearts of cheer. No, we're just trying to make sure we don't screw up this stupid system. And then in all this frenzy, we spend and we spend, and we use our abundance to give abundance to other people who already have more than they ever need, and we're meeting their wants, and in some cases, they didn't even want the stupid item that you bought for them, so that you can have the privilege at the end of the month of having a credit card statement that tells you, whoa, you overspent. Now you have no room to be generous to anybody with a real need. And does anybody recognize the ridiculousness of this situation that we have built up in America? And we all fall for it, and we're all stuck in it, and most of us every year go into the year saying, it's not gonna be that way this year, and then we do the same stupid thing. And that's why I'm hoping you're not all done with your shopping yet, so that this message can land on ears that haven't yet made the mistake of overspending our abundance for other people with all, just their wants, so that we can maybe save up a little bit, hold on to a little bit, so that we can meet the needs of somebody who has legitimate needs around us, so that we can leave a mark through our generosity to others. But like I was saying earlier, if we want to leave a mark on the world through our abundance, then we have to make the intentional choice now to do things differently. We can't do it how the world does them. That's what following Jesus looks like. It looks like doing things counterculturally or upside down. So it means spending less on ourselves and on our own family so that we have room to give to others. It means seeing generosity as a grace from God, seeing it actually as a sign marker of our spiritual maturity. Did you know that? Paul says a little later, like, your willingness to be generous truly does show how much and you trust God and how much you're willing to live out the way that he's called you to live. And choosing to be generous regardless of if we have a life or have a lot of money in savings or perhaps none at all. I want to take a moment to take an aside. Maybe there are some of you that are thinking to yourself, Ryan, this sounds great, but you realize I really don't have two quarters to rub together. I'm broke. And Paul here, I want to tell you, Paul has a lot more to say about this offering that he's collecting through all of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and even going into chapter 9. I don't want to get into it all, but I will throw this one verse out for you. He says in verse 12, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." So if you're like the Macedonians and you don't have a lot of money and you don't see yourself as having abundance, it doesn't mean that you can't be generous, because you're not asked to give according to the abundance that you don't think you have. You're simply asked to give according to what you do have. So that gift can be big or that gift can be small. If you do it with a willingness and a cheerful heart, this is where we see God loves the cheerful givers in this section. If you give your gift that way, size of the gift doesn't matter. It is going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. Now then, as to how giving generously leaves a mark on the world, because that's the message, leave a mark on the world, and I've been talking about generosity. Here are three ways that being generous leaves a mark on the world. First, it leaves a mark on the recipient of the gift. This seems rather obvious, But the person who receives your generosity in time, in money, in a gift, through maybe a ministry that you donate to, and that ministry helps the person directly. So I think of like Beza Threads as something as a church we love to support. We may not ever meet the people in Ethiopia who are the benefactors of the money that we donate to Beza, but we can trust and know that the recipients of our generosity are being changed and blessed by God. God isn't going to allow your gift to be completely wasted and squandered. He wants it to make a mark on that person. Sometimes we even hear stories of how your generosity may be an answer to prayer that somebody had. They said, God, I absolutely need this. And somebody, out of just feeling led by God to give a gift to that person, meets that exact need and proves that God cares for that person, and not only cares, but is willing to act and to help. Perhaps the money that you give is able to help save a life or spread the life-giving news of Jesus to somebody else. Often we don't really know. When we give to charities, when we give to large organizations, we don't see the exact people that we're helping out. But we have to trust that God is going to use those dollars to make a difference and leave a mark in the life of the recipient of that gift. And secondly, when we're generous, it leaves a mark on the watching world. All those who see you living counterculturally and choosing to love those who you maybe haven't even met see you, and it makes a difference on them. It challenges people's selfishness when they encounter somebody who's willing to live on less so that others can have their needs met. There was once a moment when we were all the watching world and reading the story of what Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth. He was a man who gave absolutely everything for us. And when we read that story and we think about it, for many of us, if you're like me, it made an impact on you. This guy gave his life for me. And because I saw the incredible sacrifice he made, it made me take stock of my own life and think differently about how I was going to live and follow him. And Paul follows that exact line of thread as he's writing this eighth chapter in 2 Corinthians. Down in verse 9, he gets there. He writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." Rich. We are the ones who watch Jesus become poor by leaving his glorious throne in heaven and coming down to this earth, being born into a manger, living his life in human form like us. He gave up all the riches of heaven to be on this earth for us, so that we might have the opportunity to receive the gift of becoming children of the King and living with him in paradise. That's the richness that he offers to us. And that's the story that when we hear it and we see it, we go, yeah, that changes my life. Well, guess what? When the world watches us live with radical acts of generosity, it raises questions in their heart and their mind. They wonder why. Maybe it'll lead to a spiritual conversation about, why do you give so much to other people? Why do you live on so little and give so much away? I would love to have that conversation. It means I'm not giving enough away. But I would love to have that be brought up and be able to model for other people what generosity looks like and challenge their point of view and the materialism and the greed that's so prominent in America these days. Secondly, when we're talking about the watching world, that also includes your children and your grandchildren. They see how willing you are to share your abundance. If you lavish huge kids on your gifts or huge gifts on your kids at Christmas, you're the family that the gifts are like, you've got to get the stepladder to get the top gift down for everybody because the gifts are just everywhere for your kids. But when you go by the red kettle at the Salvation Army, you hear the change hit the bottom. It's not even paper bills. It's just like the spare change that didn't get caught in the dryer that you drop in. Your kids are going to know, Mom and Dad aren't generous. They spend all their money on me. And when they grow up, guess how they're going to live? The exact same way. They're going to follow the model that you set. They're going to lavish their abundance on their kids who already have too much, and they're going to be stingy in helping meeting the needs of those with real legitimate needs. So if you want more for your kids, if you want them to know what it looks like to be generous, then you have to model it yourself because they are watching everything that you do. And finally, generosity actually leaves a mark on you. Being generous is addicting. Knowing that you're making a tangible difference in the world truly feels a lot better than just having a bigger, clearer TV or a new handbag or a new set of shoes. Like, as amazing as it is to be like, wow, I've got a 7-inch bigger TV than I used to have, that's really not that fulfilling after like the first day. But knowing that you made a difference in somebody's life, seeing the smile on somebody's face when you give them a gift that is exactly what they need, or getting that letter back from the organization that you support that says, because of your donations, here's a life transformed. Here's a child who got education and got food and is being raised up in this impoverished situation and is able to make something of themselves. That gives me joy a lot more than buying one more thing for myself. That's why Jesus taught it's better to give than to receive, because God made us, his humanity, to be people who care about each other, who look out for one another. And when we see a need in somebody else's life, we normally want to help meet that need because that's how God wired us, to meet needs when we see them right in front of us. And so it feels good to live the way that God wired us to live. And ultimately, it's the cure for a selfish, materialistic heart. It's the best way to get over that. And we're going to talk about that more in a couple of weeks. But finally, as we're moving into the holidays, it should be very easy to apply this message. We are in the season of generosity. You are going to pass Salvation Army red kettles all over the place. It's great and it's easy. Slip some dollars in the bells so that they can continue the ministry that they do to some of the poorest people in most urban areas. And don't just put change in. Like, I know I said it's okay if the gift is small. Make it paper bills, okay? Make it something that is able to make a difference for people who have real, legitimate needs. We've got Giving Tuesday coming up, is on Tuesday. Maybe none of you have heard of it. It's becoming a pretty big thing for millennials especially who never bring their checkbook anywhere. They give online. With just a couple of clicks, you can be generous and you can donate to your favorite organizations. You can get behind InterVarsity or Beza Threads or Ashworth Road. You can give to whatever it is that you truly feel passionate about. Just with a couple of clicks, you can be generous in the next week on Giving Tuesday. Coming up, as Amy talked about, Mission Christmas Cheer. Generosity can extend beyond your wallets, and it can be how you use your time. You should sign up for one of those ways to serve in Mission Christmas Cheer. There's a lot of different options. Every person in here, if you haven't filled out that communication card and marked one of those boxes, you should. Right now, I'll give you a moment. Pull out your bulletin, mark something down, pass it to me or Pastor Amy or Pastor Brent on your way out of here. If you have kids, that's an especially great way to model an attitude of generous living to your children. Get involved, show them. We are a generous family. Jesus was generous to us, and so we want to follow his lead and be generous to the world all around us. But I also want to remind you that leaving a legacy isn't done and isn't built in simply one moment. You can't do one thing this month and say, well, there's the legacy. You're leaving a mark. Being known and remembered as a generous person won't happen simply because of your actions this Christmas season. You have to make a choice to intentionally live week by week with a generous heart, to be as generous in January and February as you are in this month of December. That's how legacies are built. It's over time. It's making a decision today, not just to be generous this month, but to be generous with your life and your finances going forward. And as you choose to be generous, watch and see how your heart is changed and the world is changed through your gifts. And know that God rejoices in watching you, his child, follow the lead set by Jesus Christ. God shows us that he is the most generous of all, and he's calling us as his kids, be generous like I am generous. That's what I want from you. And so he loves to see when our stinginess fades away and we go outside of the norm and say, oh, you have a need? Here's 100, when normally you were the one to give 5. That's being generous. When you go beyond the norm, when you step outside of your normal generosity patterns, and we all have those built in, it's kind of automatic. Okay, I'm the type who gives this much here or that much there. But radical generosity, like our God shows us, is when we go multiples of that beyond. And we say, I want to meet needs. I recognize how blessed I am. And I want to use that abundance to help those who don't have as much. And I recognize that by doing that, I hope and I pray that that will leave a mark on that person, on the watching world, and ultimately on my own life as I grow from selfishness to a heart of generosity. Let's together be a people and a church who leave a mark on this community because we're willing to generously share our abundance with those in need.